Now we're turning in God's Word to the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. As we continue this short series on soul winning. Before we consider God's Word, let us look to the Lord for the help of His Holy Spirit. Most gracious Father, it is with joy that we come to the Word of the Lord. We thank Thee, our God, for this book, this infallible Word. And we ask Thee, O God, that Thou would create in our hearts a greater love for Thy truth. So our God, come, be one of our number this morning. Minister to us through Thy Word. And Lord, teach us by Thy Spirit. Teach us more about the winning of souls. And teach us more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, grant us the power of Thy Holy Spirit, that we might preach the Word, and that we might preach Christ. We ask these things in the Savior's name, and for His eternal glory. Amen. Genesis chapter 24. And the text that we would like to consider this morning is the verse 4. But thou shalt go, that is Abraham addressing his servant, but thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Coming now to part 2 of this short series on soul winning, I want to look at the method of soul winning. The method is illustrated in the story of Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, winning a bride for Isaac. We have already looked at the man, if you like, the soul winner himself, Eliezer. And then we've looked at his mission, namely seeking a bride for Isaac. Now it is the method that we want to consider this morning. And as we consider the method employed by Eliezer, we must note that it was revealed to him by Abraham his master. In verses 5 to 9, you find there that Abraham told Eliezer what he wanted him to do, how he was to seek and win a bride for Isaac. So he was not to go and seek to win a bride for Isaac using his own methods, but he was to follow the directions given to him by his master. And when it comes to soul winning, we are given directions by our master. And those directions are contained in this book. This is our textbook, if you like, when it comes to winning souls. The textbook is the Word of God. And if we are to win souls, if we are to be soul winners, we must follow the directions that are given to us in the Word of God. Some personal workers and some preachers would need to give attention to what the Master has to say about soul winning, because some have adopted methods for soul winning that are most certainly not scriptural and have ended with disastrous results. I heard recently of a man who wanted to reach young people in his area with the gospel. So he hired a hall, sent out invitations, brought in a preacher. The hall was filled with young people, and the youth leader hailed his effort a great success. Unfortunately, the preacher didn't think so, because the young people were being entertained by a band playing contemporary Christian music, really a rock band. And the meeting was taken up with entertaining the young people. And then the preacher was given 5 minutes at the end. When the young man was challenged about this and said, "This music isn't the music of praise or worship, it's not God glorifying," his reply was, "Oh, well, we're not here to worship, we're here to entertain the young people." Entertainment is not the way of winning souls. That is not the Master's way, nor is it a method that he himself employed in the winning of souls. I want you to notice that Eliezer was not to bring Abraham's son down to Mesopotamia. Instead, he was to bring the bride up to Isaac. We will never win souls by bringing Christ down through the likes of contemporary Christian music, because that's what that kind of music does. It brings Christ down. It doesn't exalt him. It doesn't lift him up. It brings Christ down. It drags him down into the gutter. No. Instead, we must try through the gospel to bring sinners up to Christ. We want to get them up out of the mire. Get them up out of the fearful pit. Get them up out of the clutches of the devil and into the bosom of Christ. No, if we are to be successful soul winners, then we must employ the methods given to us by the Master. The methods given to us here in the Word of God. So let us look at Eliezer and how he set out to win Rebekah for Isaac. So we have then the method. Eliezer must be careful to follow the instructions given to him by Abraham. Here we see, first of all, the promise. Abraham made Eliezer enter into a covenant, as we noted last week. Enter into a covenant with his master that he would do exactly as he was told. We see there in verses 3 and 4. "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, Thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. So here was an order given to Eliezer. In our text we can see that the order was, thou shalt go. And here Abraham made the servant promise that he would go and find a bride for his son Isaac. Would our master also not have us go and win souls for Jesus Christ? Is there not someone? Is there not somebody we could speak to about their soul? Is there not someone whom we could invite to church and bring them in under the sound of the gospel and let them hear about Jesus Christ, the one who is mighty to save? There must be somebody that we could go to and speak to them about the Lord. The order is, thou shalt go. How can we refuse the order given by our master? Dare we say to him, Lord, I will not go? For did he not go? Did the Lord Jesus not go himself? Did he not go into a hostile world as a shepherd and search for his sheep? And when the cry went up in heaven, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Did not our dear Savior instantaneously respond by saying, here am I, send me, I'll go. Should we not then follow the example of our dear Savior? The Lord Jesus obeyed the order and went and sought out our souls and rescued our souls. Surely it's the least that we can do. We go and speak to somebody. Invite somebody to the house of the Lord. Would we not promise our master today? Would we not promise the Lord today that by his grace we'll invite somebody to church? By his grace we'll speak to somebody about their soul. As Francis Ridley Havergal put it, I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? It's a good question. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? So that was the order. But then, as Eliezer entered into this promise, this covenant, was not only the order, but there was the obstacle. Before he fulfilled his promise, Eliezer could foresee an obstacle in his way. Look at verse 5. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land, Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And so there was the obstacle as far as Eliezer was concerned. He was afraid that the woman he would ask to come with him wouldn't come. In other words, he was thinking about failure. Eliezer could foresee this woman not coming with him. He was afraid of failing. Isn't that what we all fear when it comes to attempting something for the Lord? There's the fear of failure. This was the fear that gripped the heart of Moses when God told him to go and bring Israel out of Egypt. Exodus 4, verse 1, Moses said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice." Failure. They'll not listen to me. There's no point going. They'll not listen. They'll not respond. And isn't that the thinking that we have as well? We fear asking someone to come to church because they'll turn us down. We're afraid of failure. We fear that if we speak to someone about their soul, that they'll give us a sharp rebuke. I remember as a student minister, attending a funeral that I was conducting. A man had died. He was survived by his two sons. Two sons were wild men, no time for the things of God. And I remember walking between the two of them, behind the hearse, on the way to the cemetery. And I thought I would witness to these two men, because their father was the same man and gone home to be with the Lord. And I started to talk to these men about the Lord. And I said to one of them, I says, "Well, now, would you be saved?" He says to me, "It's none of your business whether I am or not." So I got quite a sharp reply. And maybe that's what you fear. Someone telling you, "It's none of your business." But it is your business. It's my business. It's the business of every Christian to spread the good news of the gospel, to talk to men and women about the Lord and ask them, are they saved? Or ask them to the house of God where they might get saved. If we can't speak to them about the Lord ourselves, and we can't present the gospel to them on a personal basis, we can invite them to God's house and they'll be under the sound of the gospel. Mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, friends, neighbors. We can get them to God's house where they'll be under the sound of the gospel. So Eliezer was afraid he would fail. But then Abraham had a word of comfort for him. Look at verse 8. "And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again." In the event of the woman being unwilling to accompany him, after he spoke to her, he was free from his responsibility. In other words, he had been faithful. He had gone to Mesopotamia. He had spoken to a woman. And if she refused to accompany him back to Isaac, well, Abraham would not hold it against him. He had been faithful. He had fulfilled his responsibility. There was nothing more he could do. I remember a young man who got saved about the same time as I got saved, and we became very good friends. And I remember a friend of his passed away very suddenly. And this friend of mine was very upset. Because he told me, he says, I should have spoken to that woman about her soul. He says, I never spoke to her. And he was wrecked with guilt. He should have spoken to that friend of his about her soul. And then she was suddenly taken away. At least, dear Christian, if we speak to someone, and they do not heed the word that we give them, we are free from our responsibility. At least we've spoken to them. They'll not be able to say in the day of judgment, nobody spoke to me about my soul. This reminds me of what I read in Ezekiel. Turn, please, to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33 and verse 7. The preacher is a watchman. Ezekiel 33 verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. So you're to give the word. You're to preach the word that I have given to you. Verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Because you didn't warn him. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You have fulfilled your responsibility. You've been faithful in delivering the word. And if he will not hear the word or heed the word, then I will not hold it against you. So it is with us, dear Christian, on our personal basis. If we speak to someone about their soul and they will not listen, though God will not hold us against us. So there we have the promise. And then we have the partner. Although this was a test for Eliezer, he would not have to go alone. You look there at verse 7 of Genesis 24. Verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. There's Eliezer's partner. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Look at verse 40. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. So Eliezer would have a partner. That partner was the angel of the Lord. Notice the wording in verse 7. He shall send his angel before thee. Now look at the wording in verse 40. The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. In other words, the angel would precede him. The angel would go before him and prepare the way. Here you have the angel assisting Eliezer. The angel would prepare the heart of the chosen bride for a favorable reception of the word. The angel would prepare the heart of the bride. Here we have typified for us the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will go before us. The Lord lays someone upon your heart to speak to about the Lord. The Holy Spirit will go before you. The Holy Spirit will prepare the heart of that individual. And in personal soul winning, we need the working of the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Ghost to go before us and prepare the heart of the one we intend to speak to. The Holy Spirit had evidently prepared the heart of the Ethiopian eunuch before Philip went and spoke to him. There in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So the angel of the Lord is ministering to Philip. He's going before Philip. Look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. It's evident that the Spirit of God had prepared the way. He's leading Philip to the one he wants him to speak to. And he wants him to speak to that man, the Ethiopian eunuch, because the Spirit of God had already been working in his heart, preparing him. He was reading the scriptures when Philip came alongside his chariot. You see, dear child of God, the Spirit of the Lord is our partner. As we noted in our study of the Holy Spirit, He's the one who comes alongside us. So we're not laboring alone when it comes to soul winning. The Spirit of God is working with us. We must never underestimate the importance of the Holy Spirit in personal evangelism. Or any kind of evangelism. There are some churches in their evangelistic efforts are so organized that they have organized the Holy Spirit out of the work. We cannot leave the Spirit of God out of the work of evangelism. I told you before of the man who gave me a whole binder on how to win your town for Christ. And this brother asked me to read through it and say what, asked me what I thought of it. And I read it through. I don't know many sheets of paper. They were all typed out. This was the plan to win your city for the Lord. I read through all the pages. Not once was any reference made to the Holy Spirit. Not once. How is anyone going to win their city for God without the Holy Spirit and the Spirit at work? It's impossible. It is impossible to win your city for God without the working of the Spirit of the Lord. You know, all kinds of organization and methods and plans, but if those methods and plans do not include the Spirit of God, you're wasting your time. So we see that the Spirit of the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, would assist Eliezer. We see also that the angel of the Lord would accompany Eliezer. I'm sure Eliezer was comforted in knowing that he would not have to labor alone, but that the angel of the Lord would be with him and prosper his way, verse 40. Obeying the command of their Lord, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We read, and they went forth and preached everywhere, listen, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16, verses 15 and 20. That was the command, the order given to the disciples. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them. The Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit working with them. And believer, the Spirit of God will work with us in our efforts at soul winning. How these disciples were comforted to know that as they went into all the world, they weren't going alone, but the Spirit of the Lord was working with them. The angel of the Lord would go with Eliezer and prosper his way. Isn't it good to know that we do not have to rely on our own powers of persuasion when it comes to winning the lost? Isn't it good to know that we don't have to depend on our force of argument, our skill with the use of words? No. We depend on the Spirit of God doing the work. We fulfill our obligation of going and speaking to a soul. We fulfill our obligation, and then we have the Spirit of God working, convincing, convicting, and converting the soul. So we have the promise. And then we have had the partner. Next we have the problem. Eliezer saw a problem. We've already alluded to it. This problem he revealed to Abraham there in verse 5. Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me onto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Eliezer could see a problem. Eliezer, to solve this problem, wanted to bring Isaac with him so that he could introduce him to Rebekah, the wife, future wife of Isaac. But Abraham was adamant that he was not to do that. For verse 6, and Abraham said, beware thou bring not my son thither again. So what was Eliezer to do? He was to rely upon the word that he would bring to Rebekah. He couldn't present Isaac in a physical fashion to Rebekah. He was to present Isaac to Rebekah in the spoken word. That's what he was to do. He was to bring the message about Isaac to Rebekah. In other words, he was to give her the word. Some think that it is not enough to simply preach the word today, but something must be added to it. Needs to be complemented or some way or other. Must be some gimmick or other added to it. People will not come if you're just going to preach the word. You need to have some kind of entertainment. That's not God's way. Remember what we said at the beginning. We must follow the method set out for us in God's word. And what is the method that God has given to us? Preach the word. That's it. When Paul spoke to young Timothy, he simply told Timothy, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. If people like it, preach the word. If people don't like it, preach the word. You just keep preaching the word. You don't need to add anything to it. Why would we want to add anything to the word? Do we not read in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Now can you find anything else apart from the word of God that is quick or is living? And is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't know of anything. So why should we abandon the word? Preach the word. Prophet Jeremiah had every confidence in the word and in its power. For the Lord said to him, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That person you plan to speak to, their heart may be as hard as adamant stone, but the word of God can break that heart. It's the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. So, dear Christian, you have nothing to fear. You seek to win the lost. If you go armed with God's word, that is all that you need. For it is still true. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Finally, with regard to the method, we have the promise. The servant had to promise that he would go. And then there was his partner. The angel of the Lord would go with him, yea, go before. So it is with us. The Holy Spirit will go before us, and he'll go with us in our efforts of soul winning. And then there was the problem as far as Eliezer was concerned. But then finally, we have his praying. Oh yes, that's part of the method. Part of Eliezer's preparation was a time waiting upon God. He has taken his leave of his home and gone to Mesopotamia on to the city of Nahor. Now look at verse 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master, Abraham. Here is Eliezer praying. He went to a place where a woman came to draw water, and upon his arrival he begins to pray. Evidently Eliezer recognized the importance of prayer. Eliezer believed in prayer. Eliezer knew that he would not have success unless he sought the face of God and prayed that the Lord would help him. No man or woman can be a winner of souls if they do not pray. They do not see the importance of prayer. I notice in this prayer that Abraham's servant prayed for guidance. As the woman would come to the well, Eliezer wanted to make sure that he would speak to the right person. So he prayed for guidance. He prayed that the Lord would guide him to the right person. How important this is in personal evangelism, that we speak to the person the Lord wants us to address. And to do that, we need to pray. Why not pray to that end? Pray, Lord, show me this week. Show me this week who I should speak to about their soul. Must be somebody. There must be somebody. Needs to hear the gospel. Needs to be told about the Lord. How important this is in personal evangelism, as we've said. Notice again, Eliezer did not plan to speak to every woman that came to the well. Only to the one whom the Lord would direct him to. This the Lord is ready to do. He's ready to guide us to the one of his choosing. There's a little chorus that says, lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Why not pray that prayer for this week? Lead me to some soul today. Lord, teach me just what to say. And I believe the Lord will answer that prayer. For he has said in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I'll teach you and instruct thee in the way thou shalt go. The Lord will direct us to the person he would have us to speak to. He prayed for guidance, and he prayed with grace. You will notice from the words of this prayer that he sought only for the Lord to show kindness unto his master. He prayed only for the honor of his master. That his master would be blessed. That his master would be honored with God's kindness. He didn't seek any glory for himself. He did not seek any praise of man for himself. He sought only the honor of his master. You know, believer, if we seek to win the lost for Christ and have this in mind, that if we win someone for the Lord will be glorified. Then that will prompt us to go out and win more, because every time a soul is saved, God is glorified. God is glorified, not us. You see, these high-powered preachers, and they have their name up in lights, and how great they are, and all the letters after their name. That's all right. But it should be the Lord's name that's up in lights. It should be the Lord that's glorified, not the man. And here we see that Eliezer wanted the master to be honored instead of the man. That's part of the method of soul winning. Next week, in the will of the Lord, we'll look at the meeting when Eliezer finally met Rebecca. Let's bow our heads in prayer.